Hello, welcome along to Proper Sport Does WWE, and well, I've recorded this intro after we've done the podcast because really I should have started by saying we have got a huge interview with Sami Zayn, SmackDown Live superstar. He spoke about his frustrations, spoke about NXT and the UK guys and the UK scene. If you're an NXT fan or if you're a Sami Zayn fan, make sure you stick around for the podcast. That's coming up in the second half, but let's crack on with the first half. Here is this week's episode of Proper Sport Does WWE.
One shot, one story, be you. Like now, no time, one run. Be like no one.
That's WWE 2K 18's latest trailer. Not gonna lie, it's very, very cool. And Snoop Dogg, I never thought I'd say that I'm a fan of Snoop Dogg in WWE, but anyway, welcome along to Proper Sport Does WWE episode 10. I'm Tom McGuire. Hello there, hope you're having a lovely day, evening, whatever you're doing. And I'm joined alongside my fellow wrestling expert, Richard the Shaw Wright.
Hello,
how are you?
I can't wait for the new WWE game, despite the fact I haven't got a modern console, so I won't be able to play it. But I'll wait until we get a copy here and play it at work.
Cheers, WWE, if you send us a copy.
Yeah, please send us one.
I don't think they will, but okay. It's been a busy week. We haven't really reviewed No Mercy, so we'll start off with that, Richard.
That seems to be like a long time ago now. It was good, wasn't it? It was all right.
Well, it was only less than a week ago, and... Well, a week ago.
And the problem is because so much stuff happens in WWE,
yeah,
it all gets lost in the shuffle. So now I've had to go on Wikipedia to remind myself what happened. I know that Brock Lesnar won,
yeah,
and I know Roman Reigns won. And now I've remembered all the other stuff because it's in front of me. But it was a decent enough thing, wasn't it?
B-show. Decent, yeah. B-show. For me...
I mean, obviously they had WrestleMania-caliber main events such as Roman Reigns versus John Cena.
Well, is it John Cena's last match?
Nah, of course it's not. Because he's not injured, is he? Not like it's Steve Austin retiring because he was injured. He'll be back in a bit once he's done a film and a game show and whatever else he's got to do.
American Grit or something.
Making babies, that kind of thing.
Getting married and all that. Yeah, that's a fair point. He'll just be getting married. What am I on about? Yeah, you're right, Richard. He'll be back in time for Mania or Survivor
Series. Since he's got married to Nikki, he'll be back.
Yeah, he will be, yeah. Shortly after the divorce, trust me. Oh. I've watched Total Bellas and it does seem very false. You know, when The Miz and Maryse did their sort of skit...
Yeah.
It was bang on. Yeah. It was absolutely superb. And I think that's why I underrated it at the time. Yeah. Fair play to Miz. I love you even more now. Yeah.
The best parodies come from real life, don't they?
That is very true. But reality TV is not real life.
No. Like the day-to-day has become modern news.
It has. It's weird, isn't it? The thick of it, literally, Theresa May's speech this week, which if you've not seen it yet, keep up with British politics. Yeah. It's a must now. Yeah. It's like it was written in the thick of it. It was bizarre.
The letters fell off and everything.
But the big news for me, never mind the fact that Brock retained against Braun. Yeah. Braun obviously going on a mad rampage. Braun! Finn, obviously, Dean and Seth. Bliss retaining. Yeah. Very happy about that. Right decision. The big story, Enzo Amore beating Neville for the Cruiserweight Championship and then turning heel.
Yeah,
I'm not going to lie. No. I think that's superb.
I can't wait for Christmas because I've got my certified G Christmas jumper I got in the WWE Euroshop sale.
I have yet to buy my New Day one.
So I'm ready for it. I've got my New Day Halloween t-shirt from last year, so at least they're still together.
You can still wear that next
week. I can wear that. That's good. I can wear that next week or the week after. What are they going to do with the Cruiserweights? I don't know. Well, Kalisto's a part of it now, and he's good. So maybe it's like Enzo does his shtick and everyone else just wrestles good matches and that's 205 Live.
But the thing is, like the idea of Enzo turning heel is kind of perfect because you take all this sort of popularity. There was no other way for him to go in my way. I think if never, like I said earlier, that I want Big Geordie Nev to be holding on to the title forever because I think it'd add prestige to the title. I think Neville's that good of a worker. But at the moment, I think Enzo is... How do I say this? Helping 205 Live, and the way he kind of went round the ring insulting everyone was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Still, hashtag Team Liv. So there you go.
All right, okay. Yeah. I don't know what you're on about.
Liv Morgan.
Oh, of course. Sorry.
Her Instagram game is on point, I believe the kids say.
It's fleek, Richard. Keep up with the times.
Sorry,
You're a 36-year-old man.
I am. Yeah. Soon to be 37. And still watch professional wrestling.
But you won't have
it all gone wrong.
You won't have it any other way. Come on.
No, I've been watching this stuff for too long now.
Yeah, So, No Mercy, overall, on the scale of two thumbs up, Richard, where would you give it?
It's like a thumb up, isn't it?
One thumb up.
Yeah, he was all right, yeah.
I'd give it one thumb up and one thumb at about 5 o'clock, yeah. If you know what that mean. Elsewhere in the world of WWE...
Fleek. Right. That's the name of the next pay-per-view in about 20 years' time. Well, Great Balls of Fire when Vince... says, what's the name of the next event? Because Vince will go on forever. It'll be WWE On Point. That's WWE On Point in 2033.
Well, Breaking Point was a thing, so it'll happen. We'll start with Raw.
Yeah.
Although, actually, no, we'll pause there.
All right.
Big news this week. War Games. Are you happy about that?
Yeah, because everyone's been saying, bring back War Games, and now they've brought back War Games, everyone's going, oh, but they're not doing it properly, because it's three teams. But the last time they did three-team War Games was in WCW. And, of course, if you ever watched... they had a great program on WWE's YouTube channel years ago with the Road Dogg and I can't remember who, doing, like, comedy. And it was WCW ruins everything. And they invented War Games, but then they also ruined it. But the reason the three-team War Games didn't work was because the wrestlers in it were all old. So that's why it didn't work. There's no reason why it can't work in the modern era when three ways, if you will, are a more acceptable and established part of the professional wrestling landscape and oeuvre. So I'm sure it'll be okay, because everyone in it's good, aren't they? And you've got Paul Ellering there, as a manager of the Authors of Pain, who was a part of War Games 1.
So there's a story there.
The only problem is, people will remember and look back, and we'll look back on one later, on War Games, and think, oh, violence, blood, and that doesn't happen in WWE in 2017.
And but that isn't going to change anytime soon.
No, but it'll still be... The people in it are good. The concept's good. It should be good.
I do like the teams. Adam Cole, baby. The Undisputed era?
Undisputed. But this is their era. It's a rubbish name.
It is a bit of a rubbish name, to be fair. I don't know why they just didn't call them Adam Cole and the Lads.
The Lads.
And not and the Lads. And, as in the letter N, as in Guns N' Roses.
It's still better than League of Nations.
No, I were a fan.
Remember that one?
I was a fan up until they buried him.
Yeah.
And Mania was the highlight. You know, you got Shawn Michaels, Mick Foley and Stone Cold. Because it was Texas coming down and ruining four pretty decent workers. Ruru, my boy Ruru. Wade, big old boy Barrett.
Wade Barrett, the new GM of whatever What Culture's called these days.
I think so. Yeah. Stu Bennett.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, but I'm not actually that sure. I'm excited to see the War Games. After the match of the week a couple of weeks ago, I was excited to watch it.
Well, I've got another good one for you later, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll come back to that. Yeah. On Richard's match of the week. Over on the Raw side of things, of course, post No Mercy, the main fallout of that. Obviously, Enzo getting beaten up. It seems the Shield have reunited to take on the Mizdarage plus the club. The Bar, sorry. I got that confused. Yeah. The Bar looking fantastic as always. Other than that, Braun obviously dominating everyone. That is about it. Jeff Hardy's injured.
Jeff.
Anything else on Raw?
Mickie James.
She got a title shot, yeah.
Yeah. She beat Nia Jax by disqualification, and she gets to fight exciting Alexa Bliss at whatever the next Raw pay-per-view is called. Which one is it? Is it TLC?
Yeah, it is TLC, where Oscar will make her debut.
Yeah, I think it's on my birthday, that one. So that'll be exciting. I'll watch that one. I don't watch them all, of course. Yeah, I don't think I'm just looking at the results in front of me, and I watch this, and I don't think there's anything else on it apart from Sister Abigail's going to be Bray Wyatt in Drang, isn't it?
No, do you know what I have a funny feeling? Do you know what I have a funny feeling about?
One.
Now, there's been rumours
that
it could be maybe Paige.
Yeah, but that doesn't make any sense because we know Paige is.
No, and we'd always refer to her as Paige.
Yeah.
If it was to be anyone from the current sort of roster of NXT or WWE, female wise, to be given the Sister Abigail persona, who would you like it to be, Richard?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
I think Nikki Cross would fit it well.
Oh, what's her name from the classic The Mad Woman? Sarah Logan.
Yeah.
But we already know she is.
Yeah.
It could be, of course it could be, Bray Wyatt's sister, IRL. And
could be a manager.
Because that
don't have to wrestle.
But... yeah, but also it's boring, isn't it? Because it's Bray Wyatt,
and
big fat dirty wizard. Could be JoJo.
Big fat dirty wizard. I forgot about that. Stop, I love it though. But
so that was Raw. It was on telly, and it lasted 3 hours.
Oscar shouldn't be on Raw, by the way.
How they're now just saying turn over and watch the American football, because they put the main event on after 2 hours and just let the last hour just wither away.
Well, it's the thing is, like, Enzo made a good point. He was saying, like, you held this title for however many months, yeah, to Big Jordy Nev, and you didn't once see the 3 hour Raw, the third hour of Raw. Here I am, the first week. But the thing is, Enzo, no one really cares for it, so, and everyone wants Raw to be 2 hours. So, yeah. Anyway, really quickly, we were talking about obviously Oscar. Like I said, I don't think Oscar should be on Raw. I think she should be on SmackDown.
That seems to be the one with the better women on, doesn't it?
What, in terms of
the wrestling?
Maybe,
but it's not much between the two.
No,
and we'll see what happens. It just depends on what happens with her.
I just don't want. I'd rather Oscar remain dominant on SmackDown.
Does eventually Nia Jax win the title from Alexa, and then Asuka takes it from Nia Jax because she's the only one who's like badass enough to beat her up?
For me, the only sort of main event I'm thinking of.
She's not like most girls, and neither is Asuka.
Well, I spoke to Becky Lynch this week, right?
Oh yeah,
and we're going to hear from
her
next.
Personally, just give her a ring. So. No, Bex, what's going on?
An interview. What up, Lynch person? I was going to say Lynch dog. I don't know if that's quite rude, but
last kicker.
What up, last kicker? And I was just saying, you know, oh, do you want to go for a Nando's? No, of course, I don't like Nando's. I had an interview with her. We'll hear it in the next podcast, so make sure you stay tuned. But for now, obviously, we got Sami Zayn coming up. Didn't even mention that at the top of the program. But yeah, we're speaking to Sami Zayn very shortly. I'm going to have to edit a point. So you'll hear it at the beginning where I've talked about Sami Zayn. Brilliant podcasting from me and Richard here. But anyway, and I was speaking to Becky Lynch, and she was saying, obviously, she thinks that the main event of WrestleMania isn't far away for the women. And the main event, the first main event, I think it has to be the Four Horsewomen. How you book that now, I don't know. But I'd like to see at WrestleMania right now, at this moment in time, Nia Jax versus Oscar for a championship.
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome.
Well, we'll find out, won't we? We'll see what the what happens in the future.
Okay. Moving to the blue brand on Tuesday nights. Shane versus KO.
Yeah.
In hell. In a cell.
Yeah, but Shane's going to win, isn't he? Which...
And it's false count anywhere. What?
Yeah, so know,
that spoils it.
Well, the whole idea of cage matches is they keep people out and... and keep them in. And this is, well, I know the Hell in a Cell is a long established tradition of people jumping off it and stuff. Ah, well. We'll see what happens.
Well, we're recording it obviously ahead of the event on Sunday. You got Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal. I'm really not excited.
Well,
the WWE title is such now to the point where, like, I don't actually watch any of Jinder. And
it's,
I'm sorry.
Second or third or fourth thing of interest on the brand, isn't it? Because no one cares about Jinder.
Nope.
And it's almost like setting up Nakamura to fail in pairing up with him. And I don't think Nakamura can win because they're going on tour in India, aren't they? So Mahal has to be champion there.
Yeah.
Everything else is more interesting. Natalia versus Charlotte is more interesting. Although you would expect Charlotte to win, even though she lost in the tag match. Oh, well, why is Carmella not wearing that thing? Why is James Ellsworth a dog? What's going on?
I have no idea.
For me,
by the way, I disagree with you. I think Natalia needs to keep the title.
Well, she should, Charlotte Flair probably will lose because that's what they do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Something tragic's happened, but Charlotte's going to lose anyway.
Yeah.
Got to see Baron Corbin losing because we don't like Baron Corbin. He's boring.
Boring Corbin.
I do like, obviously, because I'm a big Aiden English fan. And he's now friends with Rusev. It's like Rusev's personal singer, which is brilliant because Rusev's ace. So that's good.
I hope Rusev wins that.
So that's more interesting than Jinder Mahal.
New Day Usos in Hell in a Cell.
That'll be good.
That I'm really excited. Yeah. They bring out the
which
best
again,
in each other.
Again, that's another thing that's more interesting than
I
the
I hate the
title.
Fact that they've used that in the promo and it's correct.
Yes.
But, you know, that in a Hell in a Cell tag team, I think that'd be great.
I read an explanation of why they say ish now, the Usos as well, which is good.
Say that again.
You know, it's like ish. They put ish at the end.
One day ish.
Yeah, I know what it means now.
Why?
Well, I can't say because it's like a swear word.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. It's because in the olden days, I don't want you to do any like editing.
Well, we've already got to do the intro at the beginning again.
Well, in the olden days, on like the radio, when they used to play like rap records that said shit in them, they would edit it to go ish.
Oh.
So that's why
But, oh, by the way, we can swear on this.
Can we? Oh, well, there you go then.
Yeah.
So that's all right. It's not a bad word. It's not even libelous.
But if you are offended, tweet at the RSW. Yeah,
just tell me off. Mike Kanellis. Well, at least he's, you know, got Maria pregnant.
And
so that's
Bobby Roode and again, I think it's just time for Dolph to stop.
But it's like Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, they brought them up, and you're like, yay, and now you're like, you might as well not bother because it's a bit meh. Yeah, and that was SmackDown. I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to Hell in a Cell. It'll be all right. I'm sure it'll be good. And yeah,
there's actually a couple of matches I'm looking forward to. I'm very critical of Shane versus KO, but I'm excited. I'm more excited for this than I was for SummerSlam actually, which is funny. Yes. But anyway, all right, and that's really about it. Obviously, you got TakeOver War Games, as we say, coming up, but you got Sanity versus Undisputed, as we were saying. But what about this? For the vacant Women's Championship in NXT, who would you like to see win the championship between Ember Moon, Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, and Peyton Royce? Don't say Peyton Royce because you're a fan.
Peyton Royce. Probably should be Ember Moon, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because Kairi Sane's not really established as a thing yet. Pirate Princess and all that. And yeah,
I'd like it to be Nikki Cross
or Nikki Cross.
Imagine that.
Yeah,
that would be so cool.
It's not a if they do this is a bad thing kind of thing.
Yeah, true. All right, finally, Richard, yes. Your match of the week.
Yeah, WrestleWar 91. Just talking War Games. This is a fascinating card to watch because this is the one ridiculously where the Fabulous Freebirds, WWE Hall of Famers, Jimmy Jam Garvin and Michael PSAs beat Doom. Have you ever seen Doom wrestle before?
No.
Natural Butch Reed and Ron Simmons. They're great.
Okay.
Managed by Theodore R. Long. They beat Doom for the WCW World
Tag Team. What, Teddy?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
They beat Doom for the WCW Tag Team Championships, but they'd already lost them to the Steiner Brothers.
Yeah.
Already, so it's a bit ridiculous.
All right, okay, well...
So you have to read into it. Yeah, anyway, it's the Four Horsemen, Flair, Windham, and Sid Vicious, with Arn Anderson as the manager, and Larry Zbysko. Again, Sting, again, Brian Pillman.
We've talked about before, yeah.
20 years ago, since he passed away. And the Steiners. And it's Ace, and he has one of the most ridiculous finishes ever. So...
That's your match of the week.
Yeah.
Champion, so quick reminder of the event and where to find it on.
WrestleWar 91. So it's on the War Games collection and it's on, you know, watch the whole pay-per-view. Because there's some odd thing. There's a women's tag team match on there. Japanese women's tag team match just randomly thrown on.
Awesome stuff. All right, Richard, thank you very much. Now, I've been chatting to Sami Zayn, so I kind of want to ask you a little bit about Sami. We'll hear from him in a second, speaking about his frustrations on the SmackDown Live roster at the moment.
The blue brand.
He says a lot of things that are quite fair, to be honest, but what do you think about Sami at the moment then, Rich?
Well, he's just another one who's lost in the shuffle, a bit like we said with Nakamura, isn't it? And perhaps Bobby Roode, it depends what happens with the Dolph Ziggler thing. So we all like Sami Zayn. I bought his T-shirt.
You know what? And it's one of my favourite T-shirts. I like the shade of green.
Yeah. So if we go to WWE Live at the First Direct Arena in Leeds.
November 8th.
Hint. Then I'll probably wear that there. But yeah, he's a great wrestler, and hopefully, eventually, they find a way of using him properly.
Well, I started speaking to Sami all about basically coming over to the UK and what it's like to wrestle in front of the UK crowds.
Well, it's always a treat for us as WWE superstars to come to the UK. We come usually twice a year on tour after WrestleMania and then again in November, and they're usually kind of grueling physically because they're, you know, it's almost 3-week tours where you're on the road, flying, traveling, wrestling every day. So it's a grind, but there's something very exciting about that as well. And I think part of what fuels us through it is the fact that the fans in the UK in particular are extraordinary. And, you know, it's a treat to look forward to how they're going to be. And they, you know, even from town to town, from Leeds to London or from, you know, Manchester to Liverpool, there's little differences in the crowd every night. And, that kind of keep us on our toes, which is exciting. But just as a performer, I can tell you that we love coming to the UK.
Yeah, obviously you get to go around all of Europe, but the UK scene seems huge at the moment. And obviously the NXT stars that are currently in the WWE that are from the UK, you've got the likes of Pete Dunne, Wolfgang and Tyler Bate, who's only 20, which is really insane. The sort of British strong style. I wonder if you're a fan of it, Sammy.
Well, it's very cool because it's very cool to see that the UK independent scene has kind of blown up, which is very cool. But now it's very cool, above all else, to see that WWE is working with the UK scene and giving these guys an opportunity and has a UK championship. And it's something that I never would have dreamed possible when I was an independent wrestler and I was wrestling in the UK. It's just the WWE just seemed like a distant dream that was just virtually unattainable. And now you got guys, you know, working an NXT show or working on the WWE network and then going off and doing you know, an independent in you know, Wolverhampton or whatever. So it's just crazy. We're living in very, very interesting times. Well, obviously globally, but just from a wrestling perspective, especially in the UK, it's very, very interesting times, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Regarding those UK guys specifically currently in NXT, is there anyone really that kind of you'd love to have a match with?
Yeah, you know, I saw Pete Dunne and Tyler Dune, or I'm sorry, I messed that up.
Tyler Bates, yeah.
Tyler Bates and Pete Dunne and Tyler Bates had a really good match that a lot of people talked about, and just watching those guys, I did see that they both have a lot of promise. You know, they're both very young guys. So, you know, obviously getting in there with guys with that kind of potential, you always kind of think of what you could do in a match with some time with those guys. So, yeah, just off the top of my head, those are the first two guys that kind of come to mind.
Cool. Off wrestling just for a few moments, Sammy. Obviously, I want to talk to you about you've set up Sammy for Syria, trying to help set up a mobile clinic in Syria. Could you maybe tell me more about the charitable work that you've been doing?
Yeah, thank you for asking about it. Essentially, the goal of the campaign, Sammy for Syria, was just to raise funds to be able to launch a mobile clinic on the ground in Syria that would basically be able to deliver primary health care to people who have no access to it, people who are stranded or people who have been displaced and, you know, living in camps and things like that. So it seemed like a very daunting task when I first conceptualized it. You know, you don't even know where to really begin. And working with this wonderful organization called SAMS, Syrian American Medical Society, they handle all the logistical aspects of it, obviously, and getting the doctors and nurses and everything and the medications all sorted out. But it was just a phenomenal opportunity to do something that good, first of all, just good, helping people that are living in just unimaginable circumstances and environments that we can't even really fathom, you know. But I think the big takeaway, and I tell a lot of people this, is just if you've got the big takeaway for me is that you can take this stuff in your hands, and because it seems very overwhelming and it seems like you can't help and it seems like you can't change the world. But the truth is, if you come together and you put your mind to it, you really, truly can. And the fact that our mobile clinic is now operational and people are being helped daily by it is proof that we can help. We really do have the power to help people out, no matter how difficult it may seem sometimes. We really do have that power, and that's the big takeaway for me. You know, and if anyone wants more information about it or wants to look into donating, please just visit sammyforsyria.com and look into it a little more for yourself. But we're really trying to help people out on the ground, you know, in a war-torn country right now.
I mean, obviously, you're Canadian-Syrian, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and obviously, I just wanted to ask if it was kind of... is it basically kind of showing people what Syria may be, or representing what Syria was, and how basically this, like you say, it's been sort of a war-ravaged country, and how tragic the situation is, and how difficult it is for these people?
Well, I mean, raising awareness is a big part of it, because the conflict's been going on there for years now, and I don't know if people kind of forget about it, or you know, it's just, you know, until things affect you personally, it's very easy to stay detached, and I get that. I do. It's kind of human nature, you know. But the fact is, it's still happening, And, you know, I just feel like you need to kind of shine a light on that every once in a while. Let people know, like, hey, listen, we got it pretty good here. We're living very safe, very comfortable, very cushy lives. And there's a lot of people out there that aren't. And I think it's our responsibility to do what we can to try to kind of level the playing field a little bit for these people if they can't help themselves. That's just my, you know, that's just my attitude towards it.
Well, personally, I think it's a terrific thing that you've been doing, and on social media, it's been so obviously well received. And I think the last time I double checked, it was something like 70,000 had been raised, which is remarkable. And I think have you been surprised by the amount of people that have been coming in, getting involved in the campaign? Because it's kind of just been on social media, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really just been a social media campaign. I've done a little bit of press for it, but it's been hard for it to sort of, you know, for me personally, I put a lot of weight on my shoulders to try to make it as successful as possible just so we can help as many people as possible. So I put a lot of pressure on myself to try to raise as much funds as possible, but it's hard to get it to catch on at the right time, the right place, the right person needs to kind of latch onto it. But even with that, just it being exclusively on social media for the most part, again, raising $70,000, and most importantly, just getting it operational, getting it off the ground. You know, it's not about raising money for the sake of money. It's not about the money. It's about what the money can do. And, you know, the fact is that the money we raised has directly gone to making it operational. And that's the thing that that I take a certain level of pride in. And that's why I hope that people continue to donate and that we can raise more money, because it just means that we can help people more. You know?
Yeah, definitely. So if you want to go check out about that, head over to Sami. It's on your Twitter. I think it's your pinned tweet as well, obviously, at Sami Zayn. I'm going to move back to wrestling, though, and I want to ask you, obviously, you've been on SmackDown since about April time following the Superstar Shake-Up, and how have you found life on the Blue brand?
Well, it's been an adjustment, and it hasn't really gone exactly how I think a lot of fans anticipated it would go for me. And it hasn't gone exactly how I wanted it to go for me just yet, but I definitely get frustrated at times, and I just need to get some perspective every now and again. And you really need to remember that with WWE, it truly is a marathon and not a sprint. So even if things don't seem great right now, it doesn't mean that this is it. It doesn't mean, you know, it's over. It plays itself out on a long enough timeline, and if you have faith in your abilities and you believe that the cream rises to the top, then you just kind of got to keep plugging away, keep doing your thing, keep seizing every opportunity that comes your way, and hope that it works out for the best.
Because we've seen, obviously, the Daniel Bryan tweet, obviously, about bringing you to Tuesday nights, and your response, to say the least. So, and you already said it was a bit frustrating, but I assume you've got to be kind of diplomatic about it as well.
Well, I mean, diplomatic. I mean, what am I going to do? Am I going to go on Twitter and go on some crazy rant about how?
Of course not.
what does that accomplish? You know, I mean, if you ask me, I'll tell you. But I mean, it's again, it's only here and now, you know. And so that's the thing that I got to keep in the back of my head, even when there are times of frustration. Right now, things could be better, you know. And there's a diplomatic or not diplomatic or whatever approach to all that, but truth is, a lot of it's out of my control, and I'm just going to keep doing the best that I can do, and hopefully the fan support doesn't wane, and they keep pushing for me, and they have so far, which I'm honored and I'm humbled by, and I appreciate very, very much, because, you know, it's easy for them to forget about you, and the fact that they haven't forgotten about me, and they keep wanting to see me have a little more time invested and all that is really, really something I'm grateful for. And so I'm just going to do what I can do, and that's it, you know? And if the fans keep doing their part and I keep doing my part, you got to think that eventually it pans out.
Well, I think there's the idea of you being the underdog, of course, and we've seen so many of your great matches against, obviously, Kevin Owens just has to spring to mind, AJ Styles, and even that remarkable match at TakeOver against Shinsuke Nakamura. But WrestleMania-wise, who's your sort of dream main event match for you?
Well, I would say Kevin, obviously, just because of the story there and how long that story goes. That's kind of the first one that comes to mind. But I mean, with the right story, you know, the right opponent comes down to the right story a lot of times. So, my, you know, guys that I really enjoy being in the ring with, like Neville or Cesaro, I mean, if you give us a platform like that, you give us a certain amount of time, I think we can do something really magical, but it depends on the story going into it, you know? So story is kind of everything, more than it is opponent. So it's, because we, I mean, the roster is loaded with unbelievable talent on both sides. And there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, on a WrestleMania with a singles match with 25 minutes of time to go out there and paint your piece, that, you know, I could do a lot of special things with a lot of really talented performers. So it really just comes down to the story, I think, more than it does the performer sometimes.
Definitely. Now, I know you've obviously been the NXT sweetheart. One of my final questions for you is, obviously you must keep up with the developmental and the NXT you know, side of things, but who are you waiting to see almost called up?
Well, it's hard to say. I guess Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa are guys that I'd like to see eventually make their way here, just off the top of my head. And you know, there's a lot of talented guys down there, and it kind of just, I believe that it all works out when it does for all these people, like that, when timing's just got to be right. But I know they just added Adam Cole, which I think is a huge, huge sort of grab for WWE. So I'm kind of excited. I mean, he just got here, so I'm kind of excited to see how it plays out for him in NXT, and I'll keep a close eye on his progression. But, you know, I'd like to see him here eventually, but I'm kind of more interested to see what he does in NXT first.
Definitely. I think I everyone must remember, though, when you do say Adam Cole, you got to go baby as well. Anyway, but finally, I was wondering if I could teach you, because obviously we're here on Radio Yorkshire. Would you allow me to teach you just one Yorkshire phrase or one Yorkshire bit of slang?
Oh, yeah, please. I'm always looking to brush up culturally and learn my native, you know, sort of the language of the region. So, sure, what do you got there?
Sami Zayn there, speaking to us here on Proper Sport Does WWE, bringing a close to episode 10. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. If you'd like to subscribe, make sure you do, because then that way it gets delivered to your mobile device or your iPad or iPhone, whatever. You know how podcasts work. Anyway, thanks very much for listening. We'll speak to you again soon.